Hello, and welcome to the Winding Roads Companion podcast. I am your host, Catherine Lewiston. I'm so pleased to have with me in the studio, Elin Haisley. Elin, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm original from Denmark, so if I have a funny accent, that's why. I came to the United States in 1983, and I lived in Soldiers Grove since 2006. So I've really been here a long time, and I still speak funny. otherwise, I'm a fiber artist. I used to be in business, and I was pretty bored about it. And so what happened was one day I took, back in the 60s where we all were artists, I took a class in natural dyeing.
Okay.
So I started dyeing yarn, and I had no use for the yarn, so I was sitting there with all my yarn.
Sure.
And that's why I came up with, maybe I should try and do something with it.
Yeah.
And then I start weaving.
Okay.
And I've been doing that ever since.
So you started natural dyeing in the 60s.
Yeah.
And then that sparked
this, yeah.
Yeah. This idea of like, well, I've got to do something with all of this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I had, when we moved to America, I had a couple of children, so I didn't do too much. But in 2000, I got breast cancer.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry.
After that, I decided I wasn't going back to work. I would start weaving full time. And that's what I've been doing since.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we moved to Soldiers Grove, as I mentioned before, in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to have sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about sheep.
Yeah.
But I walked out. I actually looked at, I think it was, what was it called? Craigslist or something?
Yeah, Craigslist. You got sheep on Craigslist.
Somebody had them in what was it, Lafarge? And I went over there and I talked to her, and she said, oh, yeah, you can handle four sheep. Or I can't even remember if it was five.
Uh-huh.
I think it was four.
Yeah.
And then I got the four sheep.
Yeah.
And then I had friends who said, oh, I have a sheep you can get to.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of learned my lesson there. I'm telling my friends now, said, never say thank you to a free sheep.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm down to three sheep now after all that time. And I only have three sheep because they're old ladies and I feel sorry for them. So
yeah,
then they're just walking around.
Uh-huh. Living their best life,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and yeah. I use their wool still.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. What kind of sheep do you have?
Well, I started out with Icelandic because I'm from Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized they're pretty wild.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I changed to, what is it called? Oh, now I can't even remember that. Border Leicester.
Ah, sure.
And then they got mixed over the years because, you know, you get to know friends and they have a ram when you want a lamb, and
yeah,
suddenly your flock is mixed and you can't hardly remember anymore what it is.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And so what was it? Was it the ability to shear the sheep for the wool that was kind of the starting point for you in getting sheep? Did you just like the animal?
I just liked the animal and I wanted their wool.
Yeah.
That was the primary. But I did take a class in shearing in Madison, you know, and I decided it wasn't for me.
Okay.
I'm short and my sheep are big.
Yeah. Yep, that's a tough combination.
Tough, yeah. So,
yeah.
No, actually, the last three I have, they're getting sheared in April. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, beautiful.
But it's mostly fiber I'm interested in these days.
Mm-hmm.
More than being a sheep shepherdess or whatever it's called. Like, I don't even
know. Yeah, you're not living that shepherdess life.
No, just not sure. Really. But I built a beautiful art studio. And I had the viewers group. We meet every second Monday.
Oh, lovely. Is that a guild?
It's not a guild, but it's a group of women. I think it really started with... there was a weaving studio here in where we now have the radio studio.
Wait, here in this building?
Yeah. So
there was a weaving studio?
There was a weaving studio in 2006.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I dropped in there and got to know them.
Yeah.
And Angie Feldman.
Okay.
She was the one who had this weaving studio here.
Mm-hmm.
And after she closed it, we started meeting as a group.
Okay.
And so we have really been meeting ever since. The group goes up and down a little bit, you know, people change and so forth. But yesterday was very delighted. It was very delightful. So we are a pretty big group of fiber people.
Yeah. Fiber people are
good
people. I'm a knitter.
And
yeah, so I share a love of wool.
Yeah.
Even if my, you know, technique is different. Yeah, and this idea of sort of getting as close to the source as you can, right?
Yeah.
Just knowing where that wool comes from. And then with knowing where that wool comes from, you have the knowledge that those sheep have been well cared for, that they're healthy, that they're happy creatures.
Exactly.
It's a really, really beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. I used to spin the wool.
Okay.
But I don't do that anymore, not so much, because I used to be proud of, you know, I was helping with the shearing, I was spinning the wool, I was weaving it and dyeing the wool and selling it. But, you know, the years go by and it's just too much.
It's a lot.
So, yeah.
I mean, and I think for someone who has never taken part in something like spinning or fiber preparation, it can, like, they just don't know how long it actually takes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're going from the very beginning of that process and you've got a raw fleece in front of you,
yeah,
it takes time.
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
People ask me constantly, how long time did it take you? And I look at them with big eyes and I say, I don't know.
Right.
Because another thing is, you don't, particularly with weaving, you don't sit there constantly. You sit down one day, maybe you work 3 or 4 hours, and then you go in or you do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back and maybe do a couple of hours again.
Right.
And it is totally, it's you have to be, I'm sure there's people who can do it, but I cannot.
Yeah.
I'm not that structured. I love play.
Yeah.
Not so much the other thing.
Yeah, and that's so beautiful, but it does make it hard to sort of bill for your hours, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I think there's that kind of pull back and forth, that tension when you're an artist and a small business owner, or when you're an artist and you're selling your work.
Yeah.
Yeah, like how do you price it?
Yeah,
fairly and competitively, how do you balance like the need to compensate your own efforts with the idea that, I mean, handwork these days, if we were to truly price out the number of hours that we spend on a piece, it would be completely unaffordable.
Yeah, and I find since I've been in it, you know, I lived in Madison before we moved over here. And in Madison, you could have higher prices even in what's it called, where Frank Lloyd Wright lives.
Spring Green.
Yeah. I've been to some art fair in Spring Green. And they're wonderful because you can really set your price there.
Mm.
Driftless Art Fair, not so much. And Winding Rose, the same.
Right.
But it doesn't matter, I mean. For me, it's just a hobby now. I don't have to live of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can enjoy it. You can play.
I can play.
Yeah. That's wonderful. I'm curious, Elin, can you tell me a little bit about how your upbringing, the fact that you're from Scandinavia, does that have a place in your weaving?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Definitely. I'm out in an artistic family, and I was at least one. My family could play all kind of music.
Okay.
And when I lived in Denmark, and I didn't know what would be my idea until I came up with this, with weaving.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was telling me my grandfather came from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
He was a musician, and they lived in Denmark. My grandmother was Danish.
Mm-hmm.
And as I grew up, I realized I was very interested in Sweden, in the Swedish arts.
Oh, interesting.
And I was so intrigued with their Swedish ragwalks.
Yes.
Everybody has ragwalks in their house.
Uh-huh.
And that's really how I started.
Okay.
If I didn't color my yarn. And I was fascinated about it. And so the first years, I had to have a big loom.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big loom in Denmark, but when we immigrated, I left it behind.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, in 2000 there, I got a big Glimåkra, which is a Swedish loom.
Okay.
And when I came up here to Solde Skog, the first thing I did was weaving a bunch of rag rocks, you know, to fill up. We have a farmhouse.
Yeah.
I've done that a lot, and it's definitely Scandinavian inspired.
Okay.
The colors. I love colors. I mm-hmm. often start a weaving with really don't have an idea where I'm ending up.
Oh, okay.
And colors are definitely my forte, I think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is definitely Swedish inspired. I took some classes. I'm self-trained, but I took some classes here and there in Denmark. And then I took more when I came to America. We had an English weaver who every year would come to America, and we had classes in weaving floor rocks.
Yeah.
And so now I love making wool rocks, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of changed.
Yeah, evolved over time.
But otherwise, I have three looms.
Beautiful.
So I have a little loom for scarf,
mm-hmm.
and the middle loom, that's really the play loom for wall hangings or stuff.
Okay.
And then I have the big loom, and that is definitely for floor rocks.
Okay. And would you say, so you've got these three looms, are all of them in operation kind of at the same, you know, like, do you have a project on all three of them?
I do.
Kind of all at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
And so that allows you to sort of hop between them mm-hmm. as you maybe lose steam on one, you can go play on the other one or make a scarf. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's lovely. Yeah. I mean, very similar to, you know, if I've got a sweater or a larger garment on the needles, I usually will have a hat or some kind of smaller project that I can just kind of zone out on. So, yeah, very cool.
I must have at least three or four unfinished knittings if you need some unfinished knitting.
You've got some works in progress?
Yeah.
Still on the needles?
I don't think that would ever be finished. I don't know.
Hey, you know, sometimes starting it is the most important part. Sometimes that's just what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I have arthritis pretty bad, so.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, I don't think people realize how hard it is to sit at a loom, particularly the big rock looms.
Yeah.
You have to bang the loom, you know. You use all your force of your body.
Yeah.
And so it's
It's physical work.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about the dyeing process? And yeah, what does that look like for you? What materials do you gravitate towards? What colors do you like to dye?
Oh, I love dyeing. When I was taught, we would go to Sweden and collect a lot in mm-hmm. Sweden because there was a lot of, different things that were growing and stones and stuff like
lichen
that.
Lichen.
Lichen, yeah. Lichen is a beautiful thing to dye with. Mm. But my teacher was telling us, she didn't want to use all the stuff you could buy back then. It still is indigo, cochineal, madder, and so forth. Mm-hmm. She wanted us out in nature. Mm. So we had to collect whatever was out there, and we were a little confused first time we got out because mm-hmm. we didn't realize all the wild stuff, you normally don't want to pick. Yeah. That would give beautiful colors.
Yeah.
So I'm planning on having a couple of dye classes this summer because my back is so bad. Right now I'm seeing a chiropractor and I need to do something different. And everybody would like to natural dye.
Yeah.
So I will start with go out in nature. I have 45 acres of prairie. So we will start with that, and then after that we will do the blue and the red colors, which you mostly buy. The indigo we don't have. We can grow one plant that give indigo, but you need so much of it, the root, so it's not worth it.
Sure.
And then the cochineal, which is a little bug that grows on cactus. Mm-hmm. And that's very popular.
Yeah.
And madder, which is a root. So I'm going to mix it, and I like mixing because most of the colors from nature directly when you pick up some green out by the road, that will give you yellow. Most plants give you yellow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so that what you do is you maybe you want green, then mm-hmm. you overdye your yellow with indigo, then you have green. Blue and yellow gives green.
Sure.
So that's the way you go about it. Mm-hmm. But it's not complicated really. It's not really complicated.
I would love to take a class with you. Okay. I think that would be so fun.
Yeah.
That's one of the parts of the process. You know, I have worked with fiber in a lot of the parts of the process, mm-hmm. but dyeing is one thing that I haven't really gotten my hands on, and I've always been interested.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. How would people hear about that class?
Oh, I have all my friends, as I said, we were 10 people yesterday, and they all want to. Natural dye, so. But I did, when I came in 2006, I signed up for the folk school mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
And I didn't get anybody who was interested.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Mm. So I haven't, and then I was like, I don't have time for it anyhow.
Sure.
But now I think I have time. I rebuilt my studio this spring so I can have an outdoor studio for dyeing.
Beautiful. That's so exciting.
Yeah, that is.
Is that happening right now?
Yeah. I gotta put a new program together, but this is my old program because I used to teach natural dyeing at the school seminarium, when for teachers or stuff like that. So I got to make a new program.
Okay.
But here's my outdoor dye studio after it was built. So
beautiful.
Anyhow.
We've got some pictures in the studio. Sorry, audio only.
Audio only.
Well, hopefully there will be enough interest generated that some folks who are interested can come out and see the studio in person. That's awesome.
Yeah. I have been a winding road since it started, except for last year.
Mm.
And the only problem I had with it is I'm 9 miles out from Viroqua.
Uh-huh.
And the map has never been good.
Okay. But yep, we're working on that.
I have reoccurring people who knows where I am.
Uh-huh.
And they come. You can see here I have all the winding roads catalogs.
Oh, yep.
Back from
Elin's
I don't know
got
when.
The programs.
Yeah.
Very cool. All the guidebooks.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
So I know some people will show up, but I mean, I'm not like people in Viroqua.
Yeah, and there's like a collection
yeah.
of studios here in town, and then sometimes the folks who are on the fringe don't get yeah. as much traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I hope we can
yeah, I hope
send
so
a bunch
too.
Of people out to your place to see yeah. your beautiful new studio.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. How long have you been planning that?
The studio?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have had a studio since we came.
Oh, okay.
I had a small one that fell to pieces that got rebuilt. And my husband said, the first thing he said, don't you want it bigger? And I said, no, I don't want it bigger. And then under COVID, I was like getting desperate. I said, I want a bigger studio. And so then we built it bigger.
Okay.
And then this year I decided I want have an outdoor kitchen also. So.
Mm. So, beautiful.
Yeah. So that works well.
Yeah. The space evolves so that you can continue to play.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. So would you say, is there, I almost hesitate to ask this because I feel like it's like picking your favorite child, but like if you had to pick your favorite part of the creative process that you work in,
mm-hmm.
you know, the fiber prep, the dyeing, the weaving, what do you think would be your favorite?
It's a hard question because it changed. It used to be dressing up my big limoca and then weave florocks.
Okay.
A problem with that this year is I can't really do it, but a group of friends are coming out to help me with it.
Oh, beautiful.
But that used to be my favorite.
Yeah.
After that, it's, I don't know, I love doing funny stuff with wall hangings and put sticks in and
yeah.
just play around with it.
Yeah.
But I don't really have time for that because that's, people want scarves.
Okay. Do you, Elin, do you work on commission? Do you take orders from people?
I used to, but I don't do it anymore.
Okay.
It's
time or...
I had, for a long time, I sold via a Century House in Madison.
Mm.
And they were, when people were buying one floor rock, they came back and then they wanted a bigger one. Or
yeah.
And I used to laugh about it. I had one who wanted a bigger one and it has to be, I can't remember, 7-8 feet or
oh my gosh.
Something like that.
Wow.
And I finished it, and then she said, oh, I decided I would rather have two small rocks instead. And I was hanging on with that long rock for a very long time.
Oh, my gosh.
Until it sold.
Oy, yeah. Yay.
But no, I just want to do, at this point, I'm not even in Driftless Art Fair this year. That's his first time.
Okay.
Yeah, I retired last year. I gave my tent away, and so I won't come back.
Mm.
And I know I will miss it terribly, but it's time.
Yeah.
I'm slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Art Spear 2 coming up in November, December. So there's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have plenty of opportunities in this area.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the really beautiful things about this place is that there are so many opportunities for artists to showcase their work.
Yeah.
But it does, on the other side, it kind of makes it difficult when you feel like you have to, you know, pick and choose. You
mm-hmm.
can't, we can't do it all.
No, I already sold 3 scarves. I was going to show at the Winding Roads. So, you know, people come by and said, oh, do I have a scarf? No, I don't want to sell them now before the... But naturally, I go do it anyhow.
Yeah.
So now I have to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of scarves on the small loom, so.
Okay, yep, yep, getting ready for the Winding yeah. Roads Art Fair.
Getting ready for that.
Yeah, well, wonderful. Elin, as we kind of close our conversation, I wonder if you can think about your creative practice and maybe is there an image or a metaphor that comes to mind when you think about your creative practice? We think about the Winding Roads Art Tour and how it's all about our literally winding country roads, but there's also a metaphor there, right?
Yeah, there is. When I started with Winding Roads, I had envisioned we were studios all over people would stop at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case anymore because the studios even, I think I'm the only one who don't have other people in my studio for Winding Roads. But I don't really think about it that way. I don't know. I practically only do what I want.
Yeah.
And if I see a color, for instance, I have a couple of colors, a natural dyed last spring, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I got different colors I never had before because that's the fun part of it.
Yeah.
And I look at them nearly every day and keep thinking of the next project.
Uh-huh.
Or I was going to use them in.
Yeah.
And I often wake up in the morning and I'm like ready for a project I have in my head. So I don't really know how I work. As I said, I'm not the ones who sit down and write up how it should be. I used to. I don't do it anymore.
Okay.
And so time after time, I'm like, oh, now I'm running out of yarn. What am I doing now? Because I haven't done what I was supposed to do.
Right.
But it works out every time, so I'm not That's nervous awesome. About it.
Yeah. I mean, you problem solve your way out of anything that you get yourself into, right?
Yeah,
it's
I do.
Like if you're saying, hey, we're just gonna play,
then
it's no stress.
Exactly.
You just find a way to solve it.
I think that's why I shouldn't say I'm a weaver. I should say I'm a fiber artist because it's different things I really do, and as my mood is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can take different forms.
But it's funny because sometimes I feel like I don't have what people want because one year all they want is wall hangings. The next year you have a bunch of wall hangings and nobody wants a wall hanging, right? The next year you don't have enough scarves and everybody wants scarves.
Yeah.
So it's really, I don't know what to say about it, but it works out.
Yeah. Well, and if you do what you want, then you're happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Elin, I want to thank you so much for being here. I had such a lovely time speaking with you.
Well, I have to thank you, too. I haven't really done this before, so.
You did a great job. It was wonderful.
Okay. Thank you, Katrine.
Thank you.